I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this. I've divided our first 4 months into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the first month is Matthew. And a few months ago when I was starting to plan this out, it sounded really good in my head. It sounded really good, like, man, we got all of January for Matthew. And then the last 2 months leading up to it, then I thought, how are we going to do this in a month? Like, maybe we should take the first 4 months and go through the book of Matthew. But I'm going to stick with what I feel like was the Holy Spirit's direction, and that is just to stick with a month. So what that's going to do is it's going to be a lot of jumping around in Matthew. So here, let me just give you an idea of it. We're going to spend the first 2 weeks in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. And then the third week, we're going to kind of hit somewhere in Matthew 6 and 7. And then we're going to, the last 2 weeks, hit the last two chapters. So really, we're going to be heavy on the first two chapters and heavy on the last two chapters. But hopefully, you'll find this progression, all right? And more than anything last week, I wanted you to get this idea that change is going to happen in all of our lives and that we can face change. Remember I gave you this percentage, 5% of people are always, they're excited about any change, whatever that is. 5% of people hate change, no matter what it is. They can't stand it. And then 90% just kind of wait and see how change is going to affect us, right? I can't believe that we're still like 9 or 10 months away from the presidential election, because you'd think it had already happened, right? But change is going to come. It's going to come in our government. If you keep up with China, their economy took a big hit this last week, right? That's a change. That changes everything. I heard one reporter saying, don't look at your 401k right now. And then they were asking, so what should we do? Should we get out of the market? And of course, being in the market and being a market professional, can you guess what he said? Stick with it. Stay in it for the long haul. Right? I really wanted you to get change is going to happen and that we can face it. And I wanted you to be able to hold on to that for at least a week, because I knew we were going to come to this week, where I believe God's going to take us deeper into change, and that change, as He takes us deeper, is going to be painful. So, are you ready for this? I hope so. Sasha, would you go ahead and put up the first picture? I don't know if you can see this in our auditorium. That's why they've pulled the shades down as far as they can. But this morning, I'm going to share 4 works of art with you. And this is a picture that you thought I would have been showing a few weeks ago. So does anybody recognize what's going on here? Yeah, thanks for lowering those lights for us. Can anybody recognize what's going on? What's this a picture of? It's a picture of the birth of Christ. And this is actually a picture called the Adoration of the Shepherds. And let me just put this out there right from the beginning. They did not have photography when Christ was born. And there wasn't a painter with a canvas standing there painting it. In fact, most of the pictures, 3 of the 4 pictures that I'll show you, really came out of the Renaissance time, which added its own flavor to it. Okay? But this picture looks pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, there's the baby, there's the shepherds, there's Mary and Joseph, and it's in a manger, but at least when we look at the picture, what do you think the temperature in the room is? It's warm. It looks warm, right? It looks inviting, even though it's a manger. Well, what I want to do is I want to take these pictures that show kind of a finished and end point, and I want to give you a little bit of the backstory, okay? So we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1. We didn't make it very far last week. We made it through, I think, 5 or 6 verses. And now we're going to go to the end of that chapter, all right? And this is what it says. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. Think about that picture, right? I mean, whenever I take a trip, like when we go down to Haiti and we come back and we show pictures, like you can get some sense of what it is, but because you can't feel the temperature, because you can't smell the smells in the air, because you can't hear the sounds, You can only kind of get a distant view of it. Picture showed it great. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. Sounds pretty good, huh? Sounds good. What would happen on a Sunday morning here if one of the young adults that we had known for some time, and they'd been a part of our church family, got engaged? What would happen here? Oh man, we would clap. Right? I'd say, well, and so-and-so got engaged this last week, and I'd have him stand so we could embarrass him as much as possible, and then we'd all go, ah! And then afterwards, we would all go up, and oh, this is great. So if that was all of it was, if that's all it was, it just would be a celebration, right? So let me talk to you a little bit about this. There are two genealogies of Christ. One is in Matthew, one is in Luke. The Luke one is the one that we read more often at Christmas time. One of the genealogies follows all the way through Christ's earthly father, Joseph. The other one follows all the way through his mother, Mary's genealogy. Do you understand what this means? It doesn't just mean that they're the parents of Christ. It means that they have a significant legacy to the moment that Christ is born. If you follow this one, Joseph's, it follows through the Davidic line that he traces his ancestry all the way back to David and all the way back to Abraham. And if you go to Mary's, it takes you even farther back, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. How many of you have ever done Ancestry.com? Raise your hand. Be honest about this. Be honest. Raise your hand. Wave. Nanette, wave with both hands and your feet, okay? Because, man, I'll get a text and it'll say, you can't believe this! Dad's great-great-grandfather was a horse thief! Like, this is it's a lot of searching. But this is God making crystal clear. Joseph on his own had this incredible history. Mary on her own had this incredible history. And then in this town, the two of them were going to get married. Like, this was a massive celebration. This is, I don't know that this could happen, and I don't know, some of you might not feel comfortable. This is if one of the Kennedy family members married somebody from the Bush family, all right? Like, celebrate. That's never going to happen, okay? We know that. But this is two families with a legacy. This is two families with a history. And they're going to get married. And the town is abuzz. Listen, we're going to have the biggest celebration we've had in decades. Because these two are going to get married. Well, let me push the backstory, okay? Let me give you the whole verse there. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we get that, right? Like, we've got the Bible. We've got the Scripture. Back in Joseph's day, back in Mary's day, this wasn't written down. This wasn't published to everybody. So can I give you a version of what it was with them? All right? Sasha, can you give me that third one? This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, she became pregnant. Like, when you read the first one, you go, oh, that picture is so right. When you get the second one, it's like knowing the whole story, that we know the whole story. But when you get the third one, so when I read the first one, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, his mother was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to Mary. Joseph. Oh. And then we go, oh, and that second one. Oh, I get it. But the third one was the headline of gossip back then. But before the marriage took place, she became pregnant. What do you think people's response was then? Yeah. did you hear? Right? So, let's think through Joseph a little bit here. Hey, I've got a bride. Her name is Mary, and we're going to be married, and it's going to be this huge, huge celebration. What? What did you say? This woman that I plan on spending the rest of my life with is what? She's pregnant? Well, that changes everything. Do you get it? That changes everything. Let's push on in the backstory, okay? The very next verse says, Joseph, her fiancé, I love that it says this about Joseph, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. He'd built up hopes. He'd built up a picture in his head already. We're going to be married and we're going to have children and we're going to have this home and we're going to love each other till the last breath that we take. Then change came. If you notice that Scripture doesn't tell us a lot about Joseph. It doesn't. So it's important to pick up on any little detail that we possibly can. Somebody tell me the last time that Scripture talks to us about Joseph being involved in Jesus' life. Anybody think about it? Like, try and think through that timeline of Christ. Remember when he was 12? They went to the temple, right? And they came back and they couldn't find Jesus. They thought he was in the caravan of family, but he wasn't. And they went back. Literally, that's the last time that we hear about Joseph being involved. So you have to pick up this little trail of pieces. What does this tell you about Joseph? What would you think about Joseph? If you didn't know anything but this verse, what would you think about him? Merciful. Would you say this? He's a man of character. Right? He wants to do the right thing. Yeah, yeah. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to do the loving thing, which is surprising to me. It's really surprising because here's the word I'm going to add to this. What he was going through was his own pain. And I'm going to say this several times this morning. Change brings pain. And if you and I could in any way put ourselves in Joseph's shoes, what we would know is this. All the character in the world, all the right choices in the world still didn't eliminate the personal pain that he was going through. All those dreams that he had had, all those pictures in his mind that he'd built up, now, what do you think those pictures were? They were shattered. So in these two verses, we read about change and we read about pain. Sash, go ahead and go to the next slide. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, look what he says, son of David. He links him. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Never happened before, never happened since. The only one time that it happens. And God sends an angel to Joseph, the son of David, and says, listen, this is going to be a curveball. This child is from God. And she will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So here's the word that I want to put to this, and I think you'll understand it as we move through the rest of the morning. The word is angel. Yay, there's going to be a wedding! Oh no, did you hear? Okay, the wedding's back on. Why? Because I got this message from God that everything's okay. Go ahead to the next slide, Sash. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. This was the prophecy. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. So let me give you this fourth word, okay? The fourth word is prophecy. I'm not going to take as long as we move into chapter 2, but I want to show you that these four words come up not just at the end of chapter 1, but they come up as a pattern in chapter 2 when it tells us about the life of Christ. Okay? So, Sash, could you go ahead and go to the next picture? This is the gift of the Magi. And I don't know how clear you can see it, but this is just one artist's rendering of it. I hate to in any way shatter people's pictures of the shepherds being there at the same time the Magi were there. That the star was or wasn't there when the shepherds got there. The angels were or weren't there. And most of the time when artists painted it, they would try and bring in some angelic portrait. Let me give you the backstory of this. I'm going to go through it a little bit quicker. And I want you to keep those words in mind. I think I skipped the slides, Sash, but that's okay. So I want you to keep these words in mind. Change, pain. And then instead of angel, the word angel from the Greek is message or messenger. And then prophecy, okay? I want you to keep those four words in mind. And as I'm reading through this, when you see one of those jump out at you, when you see it pictured, I want you to say the word out loud. Okay, you got it? All right. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men came from eastern lands, arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where's the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Always good news when you're the king, and somebody comes and says, "Where's the new king?" Yeah. There you go. There it is. There's change. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Did you get that last part? It wasn't just Herod. Like, word spread quickly. There's a new king. Like, there was a buzz. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophets wrote." There you go. "And you," thanks, Aaron. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you and will be the shepherd for my people Israel." There you go. I'm glad I only had four words. "Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me.'" I love what he says here. "Come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." Liar wasn't one of the words, okay? After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It was ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Did you get that last part? God had warned them in a dream. There's message. Yeah, there you go. You got it. You got it. It's just loaded in here. That was the hard one, okay? It'll get easier. Did you see in here there was change that came? There was pain that went with it. There was a prophecy. There was a message. It's like God's taken this pattern from chapter 1 and He's spilled it over into chapter 2. And He's going to continue to repeat this. And He's repeating it because He wants us to get it. He wants to get us to get this idea that change is going to come. And there's pain that goes with that. But there's a message in it somewhere. And it's connected to prophecy. It's connected to this bigger picture. All right, Sash, give me the third picture. You'll all know it as the flight into Egypt. Here's the verses, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord, the wise men had come, they'd met with Mary and Jesus, and they'd given him the gifts. So this picks up right after that. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream. Okay, there's the angel. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. And they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Are you getting this? Like, okay, we just got settled in. The Magi just came. They gave us some good gifts. They just left. A message comes from God. You got a little comfortable here. There's a huge debate, and there's no historical accuracy. It's just they try and narrow it down. We don't know if this was a couple months or a couple years. We don't know. But they had kind of settled in. Now he says this. I need you to take Mary and Jesus, and I need you. Do you get where did he say to flee to? In the move from coming to Bethlehem, where Christ was born, in that travel, which is 60-something miles, Mary and Joseph would pass a lot of landmarks. One of which was the exact spot that the children of Israel crossed into the Promised Land from. Where did they leave? Where did they leave? Where did they leave? Egypt. Like, if you live in the Chicago area, they'll say something like this. They're from the south side. What does that mean? Okay, that sticks in our mind. We know what that is. In our history, you could say the Alamo, and we all go, okay, I get that. You say to anyone that was Jewish, Egypt, and they got it. There was a feeling that came over them. There was an association. There was a tag. Yeah, that was back then. That was over there. That's not now, and that's not us. This is where he sent him. And that handful of words, you see this again. Change comes. There's a pain that goes with it. There's a message from God. And then it's somehow, again, it's connected with prophecy. Now give me the fourth one, okay? This picture is simply called Nazareth. This is the one that was not painted in the Renaissance. Actually, the newest of all the paintings. Let me give you the backstory. It picks up right where we left off in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 16. Again, I want you to try and look for those four words. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise man's report and the star's first appearance. You get what I just said to you? Herod's furious, so he sends soldiers to kill all. Listen, I'm going to make sure I take care of this child. And the only way I can do that is to kill all the children, all the boys. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. I don't even have time to stop and talk about the innocents that were killed here. I don't even have time to stop and look at that. I don't have time to connect all the dots to this prophecy. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. That fulfilled what the prophets had said. He will be called a Nazarene. This is loaded, isn't it? If I could put one word around these verses and the events and that God's describing to us, it is constant change. It's change. Like, you get this? Woohoo! Mary and I are getting married. It's going to be a big celebration. What? She's pregnant? Well, you know what? I'm just going to put her away quietly. What? What, God? What did you say? It's just change.